Michael Angley live on United Public Radio Network, and I'm going to tell you this. The coronavirus is spreading. It's getting worse. People are starting to panic. They're running to the store. They're buying all kinds of stuff, you know. CDC tells you you should have 2 weeks to a month's worth of food, you know, which is a lot. You know, I'm a daily shopper, you know what I mean? Because I never know what I'm going to want the next day and whatever. So it's kind of nice being flexible like that. If you got to shop for like a month, you know, that's a hell of a lot of shopping. It's a hell of a lot of space. A lot of people just don't have that. You know what I mean? So I look at it like this. This is the deal. There's always going to be something somewhere that does something to someone. And I don't know how much we can control overall in our own lives. I mean, when the CDC says, you know, be prepared, they said that like, you know, last week, be prepared, get ready. You know, it's like, you don't want to get ready. I mean, and then you hear these officials saying such weird things like, you know, make sure you wash your hands and whatever. And it's a given, right? This is a situation where this virus has gone much further than a normal everyday came from nature type of virus. This virus is a weapon. It was designed to do what it's doing. Is it going to kill everybody in the world? Probably not. I see that in China, as far as they say, if you can believe what they say, because you know you can't. I'm not being mean or anything, but it's China. They haven't been forthwith, not ever. But they're saying that 14% of the people that had it got reinfected right after that, you know, and then a lot of them died of heart failure. They just dropped dead. So here's the thing that makes you unbelievably ill, gives you pneumonia, gives you shut your kidneys down. You know, makes it so you can't breathe, you can't function. And then even if you can get past that, because, you know, people have no natural immunity to this thing. So even if you can get past that, your body. Now, I see that the scientists are saying that it appears that, like HIV, it had mutated and it's fusing with cells, you know. I don't know. And it becomes like that, it gets harder and harder to fight. However it got released from that lab in Wuhan, it did. Whether it was on accident, on purpose, you know, I remember reading literature from China a long time ago, their manifestos on how they could take bioweapons and infect their people and send them all over the world if they wanted to. So is it plausible? Of course it is. You know, you're talking about anything and anything. You know, maybe, it's, you know, even if it's not government supported, it could be terrorism and whatever, right? You don't know. You just don't know. But now people are using the virus for their own evil means, like in South Korea, which had very few cases last week. Now they have over 1,000 because this group, this religious group, fanatical religious group, you know, a cult, went around spreading the virus. And now a lot of people there are dead, sick, dead. And then same thing for Iran. We're seeing that, you know, dozens of people are dead in Iran. The vice president of Iran has it, and their ambassador to the Vatican died. You know, how? And then they don't even know how the hell it happened. They don't know how that it was people contracted it in Iran, right? And so it's an unknown origin situation. They don't know. And I think that you need to examine all Chinese goods, anything coming out of China. Anything that has been shipped out of China from early November, I will go back. They're saying December, but I know that that first doctor came out in late September and started saying, hey, we're seeing this, and this is what it is, and blah, blah, blah. It's like SARS, it's worse, and that type of thing. Maybe it was early October, somewhere around there. So you need to go way far back if you're talking about any kind of food items, anything and anything, because you don't know how this thing survives and how long it lives. They don't know anything about it, as a matter of fact. They don't know anything about it. Nothing. You know, nothing. They really know nothing. When I listen to them talk, I listen to what they're saying. The one thing that's for sure is that when these officials, like Mayor de Blasio in New York City, when he heard what this thing was and what it does, this guy is visibly shaken, visibly scared. He did a press conference calling for all flights from Italy, South Korea, Japan, China, all these places to be stopped, all air traffic to and from these locations to stop, right? You know, airplanes, tight environment, single air systems, you know, barely any filtering going on. You're breathing the air, everybody else is, and it's being circulated around you, right? People are going crazy buying paper masks to the point where they're selling out. I have a friend who's a captain in the New York Fire Department, an EMT, and he said they can't get the N95 masks anymore. And these guys are EMTs. These guys are the first responders who show up when you are ill. So in America, we have basically one ambulance for every 10,000 people. In Wuhan, they had one ambulance for 50,000 people. So you can tell that in a situation like that, when people are feeling ill and need to go to the hospital, that these medical resources can be overwhelmed very easily. Then you have, you know, a basic minimum of what they think that they should have on hand, like masks, gloves, and all that stuff, right? A basic minimum. But that basic minimum is small because they don't plan for things like this. They don't think about it. You know, they should. You should always plan. You know, there's an old saying, In the emergency response world, you plan for the worst and you hope for the best. And that's really what you got to do. You know, and then all of a sudden, yeah, bang, you get bashed. We're not even in a crisis situation yet here in the United States. There are 60 sick people with one person that contracted it from an unknown origin. The rest of them we brought in, you know, we brought back home from other places. The one woman in California was in the hospital for 10 days, undetected. 10 days. She was sick, respiratory failure, all that for 10 days. Then they finally agreed that they should test her. After 10 days, they agreed they should test her, knowing that this virus is out there, only because she said she didn't travel from China or to China, from China, and had no contact with anyone that she knew that was from there, right? But she just so happens to belong to the same county where there's an Air Force base where they did bring quarantined people back and forth. And let me tell you, I don't know how you think you're going to fight a microscopic bug that you don't know anything about. And you know, you spray chemicals, Clorox, you know, whatever, man. You know, if you don't know anything about it, you don't know how to kill it. You don't know how it gets around. You don't know what it does. I think judging from the aftermath of these things, we can definitely say that it gets around by getting around, whether people are coughing or fecal matter or anything like that. Any little bits hanging around, and you know, a couple in Hawaii contracted it from a couple that was from Japan that was there before them staying in a hotel room. And this hotel room was allegedly cleaned. But if you think about that, this bug survived outside of a host for quite some time to infect somebody new. And it did infect someone new. You know, most of the time with these flus and whatever, the infection rate is actually really low. A lot of people will get it, but the infection rate is really low. You know, cold and whatever, this thing, the infection rate is really high. And I think we can judge from what it does, how it's acting, how it's reacting, how it's mutated, what its mission is, you know. So it's a bad situation, you know. And then the CDC freaks people out because they're not really alarmists, you know. This is not the CDC that I know. I mean, I follow all these outbreaks, you know, but this is different. And like for the swine flu, they weren't running around in bio suits, you know, and quarantining entire towns when the swine flu broke. The swine flu broke and was killing a lot of people. Mexico had killed a load of people quickly, too. You know, it spread all through the United States of America, right? So this is different. They're not acting like that. They're not reacting like that. They're reacting like, oh, my God, this thing has been released here. We got to stop it. That's how they're reacting, you know. And as for all the healthcare workers that contracted this virus, You know, they were wearing gear, paper masks and whatever. Let me school you on paper masks, right? Imagine breathing through your mouth and your nose normally, you know, just normal breathing. It doesn't really disturb too much airflow around your mouth and nose as you're breathing, right? If you constrict your lips, you purse them together like you're going to drink through a straw, and then, you know, breathe air out and breathe air in, it creates a way bigger stream of air around your mouth to do something like that rather than normal breathing, right? Then imagine wearing a paper mask that's got thousands and thousands of little holes. Each one of those holes represents a constriction mass of air. As you're breathing in and out, it's going to create more of an airflow around you, and it's going to suck in more of the stuff that you don't want because it sucks it in from further away. It makes perfect sense. So people are wearing these masks. They're not really doing any good, you know, especially if a few thousand healthcare workers in China contracted this, you know, and doctors have died from this. These guys are supposedly wearing, you know, goggles, and most of them, when pictures that I saw weren't wearing goggles. They had the masks on, they had latex, they had, you know, some kind of a light hazmat suit, nothing really intense, nothing that you would think, okay, you know, you need to have this crisis level bio suit. That's a big, thick rubber thing with individual filters and all that. No, they're wearing the basic minimum. And that tells you that they really didn't know what the hell they were dealing with. And this thing spread like wildfire, like in Italy. So now in Italy, they're like, well, we don't know how we got it. We don't know where it came. So a cruise ship last week and a half ago, pulls into northern Rome, northern area, right, of Rome. And they supposedly there were people on the ship that were being monitored, and someone was supposedly have had the virus. The cruise ship pulls in. There's 7,000 people on the cruise ship. They allow 1,000 people who didn't have any symptoms off the cruise ship to go and go through the town and, you know, go see what they want to see. And it's Rome, Rome around Rome, right? The one person that they thought had it, they brought to the hospital. They tested that person, and then they said within 12 hours, and this is important that you listen to me, this is the Italian authorities said within 12 hours that person did not have the coronavirus. They were sick from a flu, not the coronavirus. They allowed them to leave, get back on the ship. Everything's clear, right? Now, I don't know how the Italian authorities could come up with a conclusion that wasn't the coronavirus within 12 hours, when it takes 5 days for the CDC or who or anybody else to process these samples. 5 days, not 12 hours. So obviously the Italian authorities lied, and they lied to move these people out and get that ship the hell out of there because they didn't want it there. And now there are, I think last I checked, 17, 18 people dead in Italy with hundreds that have it, all around the area where these people were roaming around. So obviously there were people on that cruise ship who were infected, who can carry it around, because you could be infected and not show any signs, not have a fever, not have any issue, you know, maybe mild at best, and be that person who's going to go around for whatever the incubation period of it, and then go around and infect people. That's something that's beyond dangerous. This is why there's a global emergency, what they're talking about, and now over 40 countries have it. Every day it gets added. You know, Romania has it, you know? I mean, Estonia, think about that. Georgia, you know, countries like that. But down in South America, they didn't have it. Now they do have it, right? In Japan, they just canceled all school. And Japanese are crazy about education. Let me tell you, they go to school 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. They are crazy about education, and they are not crazy about being stuck. They're telling people not to congregate. They're telling people not to you know, get into these any large areas with other people. So, you know, soon you're going to see air traffic shut down for the most part. There's already travel advisories to the countries that have the big outbreaks. And the CDC said to Americans straight up, it's not a matter of, you know, if, it's a matter of when. Donald Trump comes out and says, well, you know, if we stay on top of it, maybe it is not a when, maybe it is an if, you know, and I appreciate that because he's not the doomsayer and you don't want to be the doomsayer. You don't want to come out and you want to come out with some kind of positive vibe that, hey, we are working on things. We're going to take care of it. You know, Donald Trump is a germ phobic kind of guy. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that he is necessarily underestimating. I think that they didn't react fast enough because they, the CDC and the rest, were feeling this out. I don't think they wanted to believe what was going on, and they should have relied on their intelligence. You know, the look on these politicians' faces, they're scared. This is downright fear. These are people that you don't really see that in, and you don't really hear about the doomsayers from the WHO or the CDC, but they are, you know what I mean? And this woman who was in the hospital for 10 days with all the people that she encountered, all the nurses, doctors, all the healthcare workers, all the other patients that she encountered, everything that she had contaminated all the way through, they didn't have enough test kits available. And this is the perfect storm. The CDC is complaining that they don't have enough test kits. And then now, all right, if there's no state of emergency, you don't declare a global emergency, nothing like that. Things are normal. And every state has their default way of testing things through their own medical people, whatever, right? Every state. If there's an emergency, all those states only look to the CDC, and they rely on the CDC for doing all the samples and all the tests. So then they have to send all the tests. So imagine having, right now, they've got a few hundred people that they're testing. You know, there are several thousand people in the U.S. that are either under being watched or under quarantine or under self-quarantine. There's over 800 people in New York. There's well over, I think, 1,800, more than that in California. The number keeps changing. I can't even give you numbers because, like, really every minute they increase, you know. So anyway, if you only have 400 test kits available and you've got 8,000 people to test, you're not testing thousands and thousands of people because you don't have it. And if you're not going to free up those states that have their own way of testing and not have to send samples out to the CDC, which is crazy because you're still taking samples, sending them out through the mail, going through people's hands through, you know, the U.S. mail and whatever and blah, 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 blah. I don't know if you want this biotoxic situation floating through the mail. So it becomes more and more difficult as they restrict things because of the emergency. So they really need to free up these states and allow them to test on their own. Now there's also an acute respiratory disease attached to this. And they're saying that people have that. And then if people have that, they might have the coronavirus. So it's a very complex thing. And if you only have a few hundred test kits and then you start, let's say you need to test 50,000 people, which, you know, 330 million Americans, right? What if you need to test 10% of that? Just 10%. Are you going to have that available for those millions and your 33 million people? Are you going to have that available? Or are you going to say, well, no, whatever happens, happens. Stay in your home if you're sick. Don't overwhelm the hospitals. Because, you know, a couple of years ago, we're not even 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was, when a swine flu came around, it overwhelmed the hospitals. The hospitals were telling people, don't come if you're sick, unless you're really sick, you know? Because some people run to the emergency room for like everything, which is a huge problem because it mucks them up and it causes a lot of delays, right? People go in there for a cold. Then there's people that'll never go into the hospital, even if they're death's door. You know, because they don't believe it. They don't want to go or they don't want to be in the emergency room or anything like that. So there, you have a lot of variables here, a lot. And I think within all of that, you got a lot of dumb fummery. of agencies that are supposed to be able to snap your fingers and they go into motion and then they know what to do automatically because they follow the protocol, right? But it depends on the situation. And now this situation here is unprecedented. So they really don't know. They don't know what the hell to do. You know, I live in a county where even the sheriff of the county is like this politician, doesn't even know. It's like, it makes you think, you know what I mean? It makes you think, like, are the authorities that are supposed to be over you, above you, to be able to represent you, are they really capable? You know, because I look at the guy here and I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, even the rest of the cops are like, you know, laughing behind his back because he is, you know, like not even tough on crime. Like he wants to let criminals go. And you got one of these like real leftist politicians as your primary law enforcement in the county. But when if the crap hits the fan and you need someone to call the shots emergency management wise, and you have to look up to people that don't know what they're doing. And they're politicians. And they just don't have a clue. Their whole thing is, hey, you know, text this number and give me a donation. They know how to raise money for themselves. They don't know how to represent people. But if you have to snap your fingers and be like, bang, here's an emergency situation. What are you going to do? Oh, rely on the military? Bag that. When did that ever work out? You ever watch zombie movies? You ever watch a zombie movie? It never works out for the military. Not ever. Not ever. Not never. Yeah, at best, you build a little group of your own. You look out for each other. You get your food, your water, your things that you need, and you hold out, man. You hold out. That's all. But the CDC is scaring the crap out of people. Do I think it's going to get that bad here in the United States? I think that you're going to see clusters explode. That people that either haven't said or they're being deceptive. And I have people telling me, I got a friend who's a nurse down in New Jersey saying that they've got the infected and these hospitals are not releasing the names of the hospital. They're telling the staff not to say anything, or they can get in big trouble with the federal government and all this other stuff. They're threatening them, you know. And then she's been a nurse for many years and she's like, I'm sorry, I have to say something. I can't just sit here and not say something, you know. So, you know, imagine if there is the infected like that in hospitals. You know, hospitals have vents in the ceiling that go through the whole building and whatever. It's not exactly a germ-free environment, a safe environment. And if you're in a place like that with sick people and you are sick, you got something else, you hurt yourself, whatever, and you blunder into it and you don't know that place has this going on, they're doing a disservice to you by not telling you. You know, that's a whole problem in of itself. So I'm kind of sitting back and watching all of this go on. I'm watching all this stuff, right? And you know what? It's exactly how I thought it would play out, you know? And it's progressing how I thought it was going to progress. Things are happening that I thought were going to happen. And it's going to continue, you know? It's going to continue. That's all. And they're saying, be prepared. Yeah. Be prepared. You know, yeah, wear a condom. You know what I mean? Be prepared. Be prepared. The hell is that supposed to mean? You know, aside from normal hygiene, which people should have anyway, you know, paper masks or rubber gloves, you can't stop living your life. You cannot go out. If they're saying don't congregate in large areas, yeah, I guess there might be something to that. You know, it's going to screw our economy. The stock market's taking a dump. It's gone down thousands of points the last few days, right? And tomorrow's Friday, so that's going to be the big day. And we'll get an indication on what's going on. It's more about because it's affected Italy so much, believe it or not. And in the EU, Italy is the fourth largest economy. They're a money producer. They can't afford to be quarantined. They can't afford to shut themselves down. But this is my problem with quarantines. It's only as good as the bug is alive, which means as long as that bug is still going, the quarantine still goes. It's not that, hey, I've got 50 people here in quarantine. They're okay. I'm going to release them into the general public. But if that bug is in the general public, that same 50 people can still catch the bug. You know, so it's one thing to quarantine people if they're coming back from a certain place that has an outbreak. And then, you know, a lot of experts out there say 14 days isn't enough. When I first came on the air talking about this in late December, when I first started seeing people getting ill, you know, because I kind of follow the stuff, you know, and I'm thinking like, oh, man, look what's coming, right? And, yeah, you know, if you can get that patient zero, if you can lock down the area, that's great. China hasn't been honest from the beginning. When the outbreak first happened, not even a dozen people were dead before they quarantined the city of Wuhan of 11 million people. You know, and then not even a week after that, they quarantined the whole area around there, Hubei, which is like 56 million people, you know. So they knew something was way bigger, way worse. Notice you don't hear anything from China about this, not even a word. They'll come out with a count, people sick, whatever. They're saying the numbers are down. The head of the World Health Organization says if you see the thing, the numbers start going down, that's not necessarily a good indication. He's like, that's when usually it mutates and it changes, right? So boom, there's still a lot they don't know. But if you say 14 days incubation, you say 30, you know, or 40. It doesn't really matter if you lock people down. You know, it matters that you contain the virus, right? It doesn't matter that they're uncomfortable, you know, or they don't want to be where they are, or whatever the hell it is. It matters that you're containing the virus. So it's already, you know, Pandora's box, right? Old story. The virus is already out. It's already out. And all the stuff they're saying now, you know, close the barn doors. The horse has already left, but close the barn doors anyway. Come on, man. It's more about educating people and, you know, how do you stop something that was designed to get around so easily and quickly and have such a high rate of infection, right? And they say that all these people survived, right? There are survivors. Not everybody died from this. But where are they? You know, and I'm not the only one to question this. I haven't seen them on television being interviewed. I haven't seen anybody saying, oh, yeah, I had the virus. It was terrible. I did this, did that, and whatever. And, you know, here I am still kicking. I don't hear anybody. I'm told that people survived. You know, apparently they don't want to release anybody's names, you know, of who they were for whatever reason. It's beyond a flu, right? They're not reacting like it's some normal, everyday, blasé, you know, killer flu. You know, the flu kills tens of thousands of people a year. So if you want to like start spewing numbers out there, you know, I think last year the flu killed around 55,000 people. And then the year before, like more like 75 or 80. That's a lot of people, right? In a year in the United States of America, that's a lot of people, you know, from the poor air quality in China, over 4,000 people die a day. It's serious information. Look it up. It's out there, you know, because that's how screwed up things are. This is different than that. This is different. And they're scared. They're not afraid of that. They're not afraid of the flu. They weren't afraid of the swine flu. Some people were a little bit. Nobody panicked. Nobody ran to the store and they bought pasta and stuff like whatever the hell they buy and to stay alive. They weren't thinking about that. And the CDC never came out and said, hey, the swine flu's coming around, so you better barricade yourself in your home and have a month's worth of food. You know, that's what they're saying for this. They're calling for travel restrictions all over the place. You know, this is different. And they know it's different, but they're just not saying why. So you, the consumer, you, the regular old person, you, the human out there that has your ass on the line, needs to be well informed. And the best thing to do when people aren't being forthwith with you is to watch their actions and their reactions to things. And then you can get an assessment of what the hell's going on. You know, so I think that, you know, if you look at the headlines, you know, schools shut down, travel curbed, right? People doing that all over in Italy and South Korea and Japan, you know, they don't know how to contain the virus, right? So, you know, could hit 80% of Brits in a worst case scenario. Don't you just hate that? Of course, it could do anything in the worst case scenario. You see, now that's a headline aimed at scaring people. You know, it could do anything. It could also mutate and become inert. It happens too. It ain't going to happen with a situation like that, but it does happen, you know? So if you're going to use the word could or might, you know, or may, those are lawyer words. You know what I mean? And it makes the sentence that comes after that really useless, because anything could. I could just say that, could sit here and you know, pontificate all kinds of stuff. All right. So, but it definitely affected the Iranian vice president and killed their ambassador. That's pretty big. The explosion in Iran is out there, man. Saudi Arabia suspends all religious pilgrimages. That's interesting. Yeah. A lot of people reinfected weeks later. But where are these people? How come they can't talk to us? I think a lot of them can't speak English, number one. So they're having a lot of problems in the hospitals there. When the Chinese started coming in, they couldn't speak English out in California, and they're pleading. Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, not every person in the healthcare worker speaks Chinese, or the dialect even of Chinese, because there's a lot of different dialect in China. So that's why it's important. If you live in a country, you should have the basic understanding of the language of that country. Otherwise, you're putting yourself at risk and others too, right? If you don't. So, you know. And then you get the Israelis, man. They bounced out saying, we're going to have a vaccine in weeks, right? You got to love. See, that's the other side of the BS. You know what I mean? More power to them if they do, really. But the Israelis have never really been able to solve anything in their lives. So about coming forward and you know, they don't really make anything or do anything. But coming forward saying we're going to have the vaccine, it's like that. Doing people panic and they want to give people some kind of hope and say, we'll have this and we'll have that. The reality is any kind of vaccine for anything like this is 6 months to 2 years out. Now, the CDC and the WHO say they're not going to have a vaccine for this probably in 18 months. This is the CDC and the WHO, not Israel. The CDC and the WHO. I would trust that over that. But if Israel can do it, more power to them, man. They got a lot of chutzpah coming out with a statement like that, right? So, I don't know. The White House gags government health experts. I don't know why they would need to gag a government health expert unless they were trying to hold something or keep something from someone. Trump looked like he was panicked. Look at his face, man. That guy's always pretty like confident in his piggery. You know, look at his face in that press conference yesterday and his whole demeanor. It's just he's trying to put a good spin like we're going to be all right. We're going to be okay. I've heard you and I understand, you know, but he'll tweet it out in the middle of the night. He'll tweet out the truth. It's like we're all fucked. You're like, did Trump say we're all fucked at 3:30 in the morning? Yep. And then it'll be gone. It'll be like, we'll be out there for like 18 minutes. Donald Trump at 3:31 in the morning tweeted, we're all fucked. What is it supposed to mean? What's he talking about? You mean he's talking about Bernie Sanders, or he's talking about the virus? You know, what is he talking about? Who's we? You know, define we. I want to know who exactly is fucked. The president denies everything. He said he was asleep. He doesn't know how that happened. You know what I mean? But yeah, you need to gag health experts and be going crazy, man. Trying to control the situation, and people panic very easily, man. I have friends who are panicking, and they're looking at me for information. Shows you how crazy they are. And and then, you know, I'm like, don't panic. I got a friend whose daughter's panicking. She's a young kid, and the other kids at school are being mean to her, picking on her, you know, yeah, you're going to die and whatever. And, you know, some people take it to light. Some people take it to heart. Some people like to laugh at stuff, but yet they're still feeling that it's pretty serious deep down. And that's like with me, I use humor as my off ramp, you know, for everything else. So the more I'm suffering, the funnier I get. You know what I mean? In a crisis situation, I'm funny as hell. You know, I don't know if you need that necessarily, but it's like you got to keep things light. You can't let things get so heavy, you know, but try to look on the good side of things, whatever the hell that is, whenever that happens. You know what I mean? So the one thing for sure, this crisis represents a financial black swan event for most countries. I think that definitely we're going to see those shockwaves. China, their manufacturing, all the crap parts, stuff they make and whatever that they send out throughout the world is going to send a dent. But also, I like the fact that a few people brought this up, including Trump. Now is the time that we can re-engage in manufacturing for ourselves. Let's take advantage of this situation for ourselves. You know, it's not a bad thing for us to make things or support other countries in manufacturing that's not China. And that really actually levels out a huge manufacturing playing field. And it's time to do it, you know. So it's not such a bad thing to think about that right now, especially when, you know, hey, they can't get masks because they're all made in China. You know, when you start thinking like, wow, so if one country has so much power with manufacturing and that country goes down, you know, they have some kind of event that falls them up or even takes some offline for a while. You still need to throw out some. You have these ducks on standby to combat these locust swarms. So these locusts are going all through Africa and basically destroying every place they hit. They can eat an entire farm of food up within like 30 minutes. And they're calling it a plague, a locust plague, right? And you read Bible, other religious texts from back in the day, locusts come around and they really do a lot of harm. So, I mean, there are billions, trillions, I don't know how many, they blacken out the sky when they come by, and they've destroyed a lot of areas in Africa already, and they're headed to China, you know. So now China deployed all these ducks that are supposed to eat these locusts, you know, if they want to. I don't know. I think that they got problems, man. They got locusts on the way. They got virus. And then now a lot of people are pissed. And they're questioning the Chinese government if they knew about this and what they did. You know, I knew a dude a long time ago that worked in intelligence, right? USA. And China was a special area, you know, of study. He said that the Chinese generals would brag that they had bioweapons that they could infect upon their people and send those people around the world like missiles and infect the world, you know. So I'm not saying that that happened here. I'm saying that it's just I think of it because what's going on and the mentality behind all of this, you know, the mentality behind people that would arrest you and kill you and sell your organs on the black market. People that would slaughter their own kids in a Tiananmen Square situation, you know, people that would happily kill hundreds of thousands or even millions of their own people, as long as they came up with a positive political angle on it or more power for themselves. When it comes to situations like that, you got to question those people, you know. So governments around the world, especially when you have people getting sick and dying from something that originated from China, those governments are saying, well, what happened? How did this get released? You know, what? Then they know damn well it's not from nature. It's not some live food market or whatever came from bats, that type of stuff. You know damn well it's a weapon. So they're going to have to make someone pay at some point, you know, whether they did it on purpose or by accident or there was an individual actors that did it or whatever, you know what I mean? But it goes back to the person, right? The people that did it. And we need to ban bioweapons around the world. There needs to be a worldwide ban of bioweapons. It's something that shouldn't be, period. And it's been used for many, many years, you know, in all kinds of ways. It's something that shouldn't exist, but it does, because this is how small people are. This is how petty, little, and tiny and puny-brained humans are, to create some stuff that will go out and just kill. Doesn't matter who, what, when, where. It just goes out and does its business. And that type of stuff gets out of control. The one thing they don't get is that you cannot control life. And you are creating life to kill. This isn't a bullet. This isn't a bomb. This is life. And you create these things, and then they're going to do what you create them to do. You know, they really are. So, but, you know, we'll all keep watching the headlines together, you know. Super Tuesday coming up on Tuesday. That debate the other night, it was ridiculous, man. Those guys argued like a family at Thanksgiving. They're blah, 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 blah. Come on. Bernie Sanders, that dude, he's like a threat to the world. He's a threat to the U.S. government. I think the guy's a threat to our freedom. I think that he's a threat to the Democratic Party. I think that he's just an overall threat. You know, and, you know, he's saying that, you know, Castro did good things. The Castro regime, they had a literacy program that was good for the people, you know. You know what the literacy program was? They and keep in mind, Cuba had an 80% literacy rate, 80%. So 80% of people knew how to read and write and whatever. They read books and all that, right? This dude, Castro, comes along, puts a gun to their head, and now you're going to read the Communist Manifesto. That's your reading. They burn all the other books, right? They all do it. You know, Bernie Sanders, I really hate to equate people with Hitler. It's not something that I enjoy doing. And I know Chris Matthews kind of said it on MSNBC, and they're calling for his ouster and whatever. That would never happen here at United Public Radio Network. if I call Bernie Sanders Hitler. But he's doing what Hitler did. You know, Hitler said, oh, the king of Germany has all the money, the riches, the Jews control everything. They have everything. And, you know, it's only the top 1%. And, you know, we can take over and then we'll all have things together. Hitler was a democratic socialist. He pitched that message. And it's what they did. Look at what they did, what they said, and how it went down. Look at the Bernie bros who are going around now assaulting people, beating people up, harassing people online. They're showing up to people's houses. Their Democratic counterparts, the people that don't support Bernie, these guys are showing up in their houses at midnight with a bullhorn, yelling and screaming in these neighborhoods, waking people up and berating the Democratic representative in that home. How is that okay? You know, Bernie, oh, I disavow any of that that goes on. Obviously, it's not part of our legitimate campaign. It is part of his legitimate campaign because his campaign's illegitimate. He doesn't believe. I read the guy's whole manifesto. I read the top 10 things he's going to do under executive orders when he gets in, like defund the military and use all that money to fight climate change. How's that? Now, opening the door. No military, opening the door, you know? Think about that. Think about he said no limit coming over the border for amnesty, no limit, right? Anybody can come in. You could have 8 million people come in, 40 million people. It could be 100 million Chinese, whatever, doesn't matter. He would take them all. So the things that he lists, of course, everybody's taxes going up. They pull you out of your health care plan. They put you in a single-payer system, whether you want it or not. They take your options away. They take your privacy away. They take your wealth away. They take your money away. Is that an option for people? So my prediction is, as Bernie rises to the top, Super Tuesday is on Tuesday, it'll be a big deciding factor on who's out front and who's not, right? If he is the front runner, the establishment Dems don't want that ever. They're going to fight. They're going to implode. They're going to fight each other. They're fighting each other now. They're beating on each other. The only viable candidate that I see in the whole Democratic group is Michael Bloomberg. And believe it or not, Clint Eastwood, big time Republican, he calls himself a libertarian now. I like Clint Eastwood. I don't listen to what Hollywood stars or any of that says. It doesn't influence anything I think about, but I like the guy. And what he said also mirrored what I felt, you know? And I'm happy the guy had the balls to say it, that he feels that Donald Trump doesn't have the class and respect of the office, that he's the name caller, the bully. He gets down into the trenches with people and it gets ugly. And he doesn't like that out of his president. The president's not supposed to act like that, that kind of thing. And then he, Clint Eastwood tells the story. This is how you know that you're a have not when and you're listening to a have talk. Clint Eastwood was like, yeah, you know, one day I was playing golf with Steve Wynn. And of course, Steve Wynn owns Wynn Hotels and all that, big deal, right? And Donald Trump playing golf with both of them. This is before Trump became president, right? And three of them are playing golf, and he said that he's, you know, each guy was talking to Clint Eastwood, you know, at different times when they're teeing off, whatever. So Donald Trump goes to Clint Eastwood, yeah, Steve Wynn's getting into hotels, man. He's going to lose his shirt, you know, right? There's too many hotels, Trump said, right? Then, you know, Steve Wynn says, yeah, Trump's getting into these casinos, man. He's going to lose his shirt, you know, yeah. Because Steve Wynn's big with casinos, right? Clint Eastwood was laughing to himself about both these billionaires talking about someone losing their ass and all that stuff. But the reality is he's like, forget these guys. Just let Mike do it, you know. Like, let Mike Bloomberg get in there and do it. The question is, do you think Mike Bloomberg would be a good president? Now, he is the guy that can take over a good economy and keep it going. He doesn't have the crazy ideas as the rest of the Democrats. He doesn't have like the whole reparations and whatever, and I'm going to give all your money away. We're going to open up the border. So, I mean, really, there are Republicans and a lot of middle of the road people that would vote for Bloomberg. But in this debate, the first debate Bloomberg had with these guys, you know, Elizabeth Warren, she ripped his guts out and he couldn't defend himself. He, you know, because, you know, this guy, Bloomberg, is a billionaire surrounded by a bunch of ass kissers. So when he went to practice their whole debate, you know, those guys just stuck to the topics and, you know, asked him about this, asked him about that. That's bull crap, man. He should have had someone like me in there and I would have roasted his nuts like it was Christmas, you know, and then he would have been, oh my God, it's just what I'm going to have to deal with. And I'll be like, that's right, you little bastard. You're going to have to hear it all. You woman hater, fag hater, hate blacks. Stop and frisk. You get Joe Biden in there saying he had, you know, 30 million black people up against the wall. Oh, my God. This guy just sitting there like, he's sitting there like a freaking possum in the headlights in the middle of the night, man. Like, oh, my God. Well, how did I get here? He should have been ready. And when Warren opened up her nasty trap, she can't even tell the truth to save her life. I would have ripped her guts out for all that, man. You know, the whole Native American checking the box, getting jobs to be Native American, deceiving people, stopping Native Americans from getting forward. There's always that. Or the whole lie about how she got fired from her job when she was a special ed school teacher because she started to show and the principal fired her. They said that the principal and the board actually offered her 2 years and begged her to stay, but she said in an interview back in 1996 that she just wanted to take some time off from her job to raise her child in her $6 million home in Cambridge, Massachusetts, with all her millions of bucks in the bank, because these people, they don't have the problems that regular old people have, you know? So whenever they say they're going to save you or save this group or save that or whatever, they're not talking about that. They're talking about themselves and their own power. But when she went to Bloomberg, you know what? She was like, you called a woman a horse-faced lesbian. He should have been like, yeah, I did. You should have seen her. You know, if he wants to take the book of Trump, because if he's going to go down that route and start defending himself against these people, he needs to be able to do it like a media personality. And he's not a media personality. You know, he was mayor of New York City. And then he's a billionaire, right? He's not a media personality. So he really didn't have the jazz to go up against these guys. And he should have been able to. He should have been able to. He should have ate a power bar before he went out there, had a nice couple cappuccinos, a little espresso, something like that maybe, and go out there and just go out there. Ask Elizabeth Warren, you know, did you soil your diapers? Because I smell something funky. because they wear diapers on stage during these debates, man. You know what I mean? So they don't have to go to the bathroom. You know, some of the debates actually allow them to go off every once in a while. But hey, man, you get to a certain age, you know, maybe you can't hold things in like you want. I know it's a horrible way to end the show, man, but it's also very real, very real. But if Bloomberg wants to win, I think he can. I think that the dude really needs to talk about the issues. When he talks about the issues and what's going on and what's happening and what he would do, he's got a plan. These other guys are just full of bullcrap. They have no plan. You know, Bernie Sanders, he has no way to pay for all the stuff he's talking about. He would bankrupt this country. So mark my words, if he does somehow become that front runner for the DNC and he wins that primary, you know that someone like Mike Bloomberg is going to end up running as an independent, and that's going to take a lot of votes away from Bernie Sanders. And then obviously Sanders ain't going to win. Trump's going to win. But I think that there's really no choice in this election so far unless they can clean things up. I don't know, man. Is Bloomberg a choice? My Republican friends are afraid. They're all like, Bloomberg, oh, he'll never get it. But you know, someone says that he'll never get it, but you know that they're not telling the truth. That their ultimate fear is that he's going to get it. So whatever, man. I'll be watching the shit show till the end of the times, till the end of my time, till the end of your time. And this is the end of my time. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley live. Tune in on Tuesday for Super Tuesday. Everybody on there, a whole bunch of different hosts coming out to Joe Montaldo and maybe some Lily Wyatt and people like that. Going to be on there going crazy for the whole thing. See? That's the voices in my head that just said, Baba, whatever, bottle. I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy, man. I'll see you guys next week on this here show on United Public Radio Network, UPR, and talkradio.com. Bye.